This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots host Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers in preseason game number 3.
Patriots trailing by 3. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the 5. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Friday night lights here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots back at home here in Foxborough for another preseason affair. This time the opponent is the Carolina Panthers. And a little bit of a unique or new twist to the preseason. Patriots didn't practice with the Panthers this week, so it'll be their first time coming into a game where, as Brady put it, they had some actual game planning and scouting meetings and preparing for an opponent they hadn't seen on the practice field for 3 days. More importantly, though, it's the third preseason game, and if Tom Brady knows what he's talking about, and let's be honest, Tom Brady usually knows what he's talking about, he's expecting to play quite a bit tonight, probably into the third quarter. He said Bill Belichick told the guys that to be ready to play a lot. And Brady himself pointed out that this is sort of the last dress rehearsal, and we'll find out, quote, where we're at against a Panthers defense that was number 2 in the NFL in yards a year ago, number 2 in the NFL in points allowed a year ago, and, oh, by the way, beat the Patriots down in Carolina in that controversial Rob Gronkowski game. And they bring some pretty talented players, Greg Hardy, obviously the pass rusher, Luke Kuechly, former BC star and reigning defensive player of the year in the National Football League. But more importantly, the Patriots will be on the field, and we're going to see a lot of guys that are going to be the backbone of this team play a lot of snaps tonight. We're going to see some guys we haven't seen yet, including one, I think, Jerod Mayo, although Jerod Mayo has actually been out there doing some pregame conditioning with other injured players. But I was coming into this with the expectation
Kraft and Mayo go together.
That we would see Kraft in his luxury box tonight and Mayo down on the field in the middle of this Patriots defense. And it'll be interesting to see if that happens. But before we get into all that, let's set the table. As you've probably noticed, Mark Bertrand, who's, quote, our host, although where I come from, hosts are usually there when things start. If you go to a party, the host usually meets you at the door. If you go to a radio show, usually the host is the first voice you hear, but Mark Bertrand is not here, and Paul Perillo is whoring himself out to another radio station in the, do we call that Studio B? I'm going to call
good
that.
Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Paul Perillo in Studio B with the hub, so you get the A-team here in the Studio A, and that's just Andy Hart. Patriots pregame social, Dunkin' Donuts are our peeps that bring it to you each and every week. You can get in touch with us a variety of ways, and I do want to let everybody know that I got my tweet deck back. I figured out my password, so I'm going to be more active on Twitter tonight. If you want to interact that way, it's obviously hashtag PPGS, and I'll say it again, Patriots Pregame Social, because I always get at least one person who says, what does PPGS mean? It has some other terms. Sometimes it seems like it's got something to do with porn, because I get a few weird tweets. Occasionally it's got something to do with golf swings. I don't know what that is. There's some guy who uses PPGS for golf. But for tonight, it's Patriots Pregame Social. webradio@patriots.com if you want to email us, webradio@patriots.com. And if you want to join us on the phone, which the lines are already starting to light up, I'll give you one guess who's waiting on hold as we speak, and you'll probably get it. 1-855-PATS-500, 1-855-PATS-500 is the North American toll-free line. 508-298-0398 if you're more local. And you know what I like to give out occasionally is one of them there international numbers. So I'm going to go a little closer to home. You know, if I go too far away, they go, oh, it's the middle of the night, we can't listen. So we'll go Ireland, 1-800-904-125. That's 1-80-904-125 for our Irish friends who probably about 11 o'clock over there, so most of them are probably face down in a plate full of potatoes at this point. But we want everybody globally to join in. This is, as the intro says, the world's largest tailgate party as we pregame for the Patriots-Panthers' third preseason affair. Lots of Cam Newton, lots of Tom Brady. Probably not any Rob Gronkowski, which is unfortunate, but lots of the first offensive line, which, you know, if you know what that is, please call in and let me know, because I'm not sure anyone else knows yet. Lots of the first defense, lots of Darrell Revis, lots of somebody starting at safety next to Devin McCourty, and hopefully lots of answers to some of the questions. And one of the questions I posed earlier tonight on Twitter is a very simple one. Of the top flight Patriots players that we should see for two-plus quarters of action tonight, who are you most excited to see? And got a lot of early answers on Twitter. One of them, which I wholeheartedly agree with, would be Jamie Collins, the young linebacker who sat out the first preseason game down in Washington with the rest of the quote-unquote veteran starter types. Saw limited action last week, but high expectations for number 91 in year two. You know, I think some people have him as an outside, dark horse, breakout player type, maybe a Pro Bowl talent, versatile talent. I want to see a guy that I feel like can contribute 16 straight weeks for this Patriots team as a starter in whatever role he's asked to play, whether that's outside linebacker in a 4-3, inside linebacker in a 3-4, pass rusher, coverage, whatever it may be. I think Jamie Collins is going to be a key to this defense this year if it's going to be as good as a lot of people believe it's going to be. I'd like to see that start tonight. Other things we need to talk about a little bit would be what the defense looks like. Do we continue to see 3-4? This is the first week we haven't been on the practice field the whole week. We've basically had the normal regular season little snippet of stretching and running. Are they going to continue to be a 3-4 team? Could they be a 4-3 team when we see them in the opener in Miami? Where is the defense going? Offensively speaking, Stephen Ridley, the last time he touched the ball last week, he put it on the ground, and we never saw him again. Was he, quote-unquote, put in the doghouse, or was he simply done with his reps for the evening? That's another question we might get answered as we see the backfield roles sort of fill themselves out in this third preseason game. Saw a lot of rotation early in the first quarter last week. Be interesting to see how those roles come about tonight. Another issue, which is always an issue, best fullback in the NFL. You might have heard Tom Brady called James Devlin the best fullback in the National Football League. See if Jimmy can get some more receptions. And I say Jimmy. Of course, the other Jimmy will be a big story at whatever point he enters the game. Jimmy Garoppolo, or just Jimmy, as Dan Roach likes to call him on the Kraft Sports Production local broadcast.
By the way, I really liked the Jimmy to James thing.
Oh, it was tremendous. I'm not sure he should have stuck with just calling him Jimmy for quite as long, because I'm not sure he's reached that point yet, and I could see people tuning in. Who's Jimmy? Why does this guy keep saying Jimmy? He's not exactly a household name yet, even if he is the future of the position. But that's all we got to talk about here. Lots of topics to break down, lots of discussion, hopefully, about this matchup and what it means tonight as we head towards not only the regular season opener in Miami, but next Tuesday, the first cut down to 75, and then the cut down to 53 later that week on Saturday. Oh, and we should probably just throw it out there in case you want to talk about it. Tony Gonzalez might be tempted to join a team like the Patriots later this year. That's actually your Make the Case topic tonight on Patriots.com. We'd love for you to go vote over there. I think he's going to play for the Patriots this year. Paul says no because, you know, he's a cranky old man who says no to everything. But we're going to start the show off. And since I'm by myself, I figure I might as well go to the phones because I got no one else to talk to. Otherwise, it's just Kevin. And, you know, he and I don't really get along that well. So we're going to go to our usual number one caller, a guy who likes to hopefully make money off the preseason. I forget how well he's doing at this point, but our buddy Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, you kick us off tonight. What do you got for this one?
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I am doing great. I wish I had more friends, both in this room and in general, but, you know, I can fly solo.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit lonely out here in Vegas, too, because I believe there's no national TV feed.
So you won't have us on the big screen tonight in the sports book?
Yeah, we won't have you at all in the sports book just because we don't get the local feed. Even the sports book, Vegas's largest, most prominent sports books, just can't access it, even on satellite for whatever reason. Kind of weird, actually.
Sons of bitches, you're missing out. You should want more Paul and Andy.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I know you're going with a sort of a wardrobe change in, or a V-neck, I saw some tweets about.
Yeah, I was saving that for later in the show, but as you bring it up, I am going to debut the V-neck undershirt tonight. I've taken a lot of heat from Scott Zolak and Andy Gresh and various other people that think themselves, media personalities slash fashion experts. And I was told that you just can't wear the crew neck undershirt. So I'm breaking out the V-neck tonight, so you may see a little of that famous heart chest hair on full display.
And it's climate controlled in there. Why not just go without a T-shirt at all?
I always like to have the undershirt. It is climate. I get hot. I'm a sweater. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a sweater. I sit in those leather chairs. My butt starts to feel funky. I start to sweat a little bit. So I always like to have the undershirt just in case. I don't want to pit out.
I hear you. Way to be. And I've been catching up on a few of the podcasts. I know there have been some. Paul had that controversy about the post game callers, or the, as opposed to the callers during the week. Seems like you get a lot of rambling people who really haven't collected their thoughts before they're ready to go with their calls. So
that's just, okay. You know, we take all of them though. We love callers. We love emailers. We love tweeters. That's the beauty of PFW. We take all comers.
Right on, yeah, I hear you. Andy, as far as tonight, what I'm looking for is some defensive line and front seven pressure. I believe Carolina's O-line is a little banged up, and maybe we can see some pressure defense tonight.
I would love to see some pressure defense tonight. You remember I, once upon a time, got really excited when they had pressure defense in Tampa, and I anointed, I believe it was Gerard Mayo and Andre Carter as co-defensive players of the year coming out of that game. I would love to have that be the topic when we come back here to the studio for the Xbox One post-game show. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, I'd love to be talking about those guys and how they got after it.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing easily, too, hopefully by the opener. As far as the line and numbers, Andy, again, I'm going to lay off this game and start at New England -4. Now it's up to New England -6.5. I have seen they have lost their past few third preseason games as well. So
yep.
Don't have a great feeling one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart to avoid this game.
Yeah, I just sort of want to get out of here as it, with no injuries. After this, we can turn our whole focus towards game planning for Miami, you know, with the exception of, you know, next week, just you know, filling out the roster. But that's going to bring me, Andy, to a preview of the Jeff and Vegas Week 1 New England at Miami play of the next 3 weeks.
Heavens to Betsy!
Play of the next 3 weeks.
See you on vacation.
Yeah,
I missed the beginning of the call.
Yeah, that voice you hear is Paul Perillo. He now blesses us with his dulcet tones after he shared them across terrestrial radio. Now he's gone all internet on us.
Hey, Paul. Hi, how are you? I was just giving my – I'm skipping ahead to week one. I love New England at Miami. It's a -4. I got a -3.5, hoping for no injuries tonight so we can back up the truck week one at Miami all over New England. Lock it in. Talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Jeff.
And
I like to back up the truck.
Jeff brought up an
back
interesting
up that
point that we talked about a couple days ago, or I guess it was yesterday, on PFW in Progress, and Brady mentioned sort of the stinkers they've had a couple of preseason.
Yeah.
I went back and looked. He has one pick and two sacks in each of the last three third preseason games. He's been pretty consistent. So this
and
is a defense.
You're dealing with a little more than a half of work. So one pick and two sacks.
Not good.
Is a lot.
Yeah, not good.
For him.
And, you know, you get a defense that is, you know, pretty talented. Gave them some troubles last year, even with, you know, we like to say, oh, well, when they have Gronkowski, they're fine.
20 points with Gronk.
Gave them some problems with Gronk. You probably will not see Gronk tonight. And, you know, you're not going to see a lot of tight end play in general. Hopefully we're not going to be thrown to Steve Mineri, because if we are, guess what? I'm going to lock it in, as Jeff would say.
One pick.
One pick in this game at least.
Poor Steve Mineri.
Oh, it's not a Steve Mineri problem.
No, I know.
It's a Tom Brady problem. Don't throw to him. And then we got Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to him on the goal line. I don't know why these Patriots quarterbacks are like, oh, we got to get Steve Mineri involved. You know how he is. If you don't get him involved, he starts asking for the ball.
He's a diva.
Paul.
You know how those tackles can be.
What'd you talk about? Oh, that can't be. What'd you talk about on the hub? What's the topic du jour from, yeah, Gary Tangway?
We started off talking a little about Gronk, you know, the fact that he's not going to be playing. And I'm not surprised that he's not playing, but I am a little disappointed. I was
are all
hoping.
Signs still pointing to him playing in the opener in Miami?
My signs are still pointing there, although I did read a tweet from our buddy Albert Breer.
Wasn't all in.
Didn't necessarily sing as optimistic a tune as I would
well, what's,
have hoped.
What's Pro Football Talk reporting?
50-50.
Oh, okay. So they're right.
Right.
Right. Okay, good. What
mean,
are you talking about?
I don't know how you feel about it. I'm not overly surprised that he's not playing. And it's a weird thing. I don't mind at all not playing.
Paul was just speechless. I have never seen that before.
Well, because I'm about to deliver a sort of contradictory message. I'm not a big fan of the preseason. I'm not a big fan of you need to, quote, knock off the rust in the preseason. But just in this particular case, I would sort of like to see him get out there because I think mentally – I think he'd like to get tackled and say, "Okay, I'm all right. I'm fine. I took a couple of hits. I'm out there." But at the same time, I'm not overly surprised that they're not going to do it. It is the preseason. There's nothing really to be gained. But I'm a little disappointed by it. You actually made a good point too on PFW in Progress yesterday.
Why is it like actually made a good point?
Well, because the reason that I'm a little disappointed is I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to put him out there for that one or two series next week if Brady's not going to play.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan Mallett loses one and puts him in a vulnerable spot. That's not what you're looking for.
No, it's certainly not what you're looking for. Paul Perillo, what time do you think Mark Bertrand will be here? Are we putting the under over at 6 o'clock?
He generally has been here after the first segment.
Oh, okay. We'll see if he sticks.
What did he say?
No, I haven't heard from him.
Oh, I haven't heard either.
Should we get to the emails? You got anything else you'd like to set on the table?
No, after that, we talked about some stuff that I'm sure we'll be getting into, the depth and the interior lines, both sides of the ball, some names that could be playing for jobs tonight. Who do you think if, a guy like Will Smith was a guy I brought up, if you don't see him in those, if it's going to be the first half plus the first series of the third quarter, maybe-ish. So 2.5 quarters, we'll call it.
Sure.
If you don't see Will Smith in 2.5 quarters, you could probably say goodbye.
Sure, and he certainly would have the feel of a potential veteran cut where Bill gives him the respect of a few days
to do it on Tuesday.
Catch on. We've talked about that over the years, where you sometimes everybody assumes that first cut is going to be the bottom of the 90. It isn't for two reasons. Bill, I think, does at times cut guys free to try to give them a chance, and B, you need those bottom guys to play in the fourth preseason game because a lot of guys aren't going to play. So it could be interesting to see. And as I said, Tuesday is that first cut down, although there's nothing stopping them from doing anything on Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
And we've already seen them. I mean, I think they're down to 87 now. They cut two. They cut two yesterday, and I think they were already one short.
They were one down with Ott, and they cut Marcus Forston and somebody else, Paul.
DJ Williams.
Cutting into that tight end depth that has been so strong all summer. You want to get to the emails, though?
Sure.
Hey, guys. This is from Vishon. When do you ever think we'll get the NFL game day pass in the States? I heard the online. I don't know what any. Really? I mean, that's not appropriate. It's not the right time for that kind of a question. Bill Berry says.
Good show prep.
I was here by myself.
Is $890 million embarrassing for the NFL? Is that what the Bills are worth?
No, I don't think it's embarrassing. It doesn't have a stadium. It doesn't have a city. It doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, I think that's remarkable that you have a billion-dollar franchise that, in a lot of ways, is not all that desirable.
$890 million is not a billion.
I round up. It's a billion. It's a billion between friends.
You round up a lot.
I wouldn't mind having that rounding up part, the $110 million that's left over. Guys, this is Bill Berry, your guy. I know this one counts, almost sort of, kind of, if you squint. Other than the usual, how does the O-line look? Will they throw at Revis and can we punt? Is there anything else? I'll take the answer off air. That made me laugh.
I'll give you one. The second one out of those three, I want to see tonight. I want to see Cam Newton
can we punt?
Throw the ball to Kelvin Benjamin with Darrell Revis covering him, or somebody with Darrell Revis covering him. I want to see, I want to see two or three times where I say, that's what's going to happen. I don't care if he has a pick or anything. I'm just tight coverage, knocking the ball away, or forcing an incompletion.
And then Matt Chatham can break it down from the sideline, because he, of course, played with Darrell Revis.
He did. They played together. I'm not sure that Darrell Revis knows that. But
I keyed, Matt.
We're all brothers. We're all brothers in this enterprise. Are you at all interested in that? That's am I overrating that?
Mildly, but
I want to see the
Certainly
$12 million corner at work.
If this is any way treated like a close to a real thing kind of competition, you would have Revis on what's his name again?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin. I couldn't think of his name. He is the, he's going to be their number one receiver. They have nothing else. He has wowed this summer.
Jericho Cotchery.
He is going to be their number one receiver. They have nothing else.
I know, but he did have a 100-yard game against the Patriots last year, I believe.
I spun my finger after I popped it.
Okay.
That would be a matchup, and you would probably then see potentially Cam Newton avoid it and try to go elsewhere to, you know, D'Angelo.
Well, see, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see him avoid it.
Are you concerned about Revis in any way? Is this
trepidation
about his greatness?
No, I just want to see it. I want to see him. That's all.
He's out there.
It's more excitement than trepidation. I want to see him cover.
Okay.
I want to see him tested.
Yeah, that's fine. I started with my guy was Jamie Collins. I just want to see Jamie Collins.
I want to see Jamie Collins.
Jamie Collins is suddenly assumed to be fine, and like he gets the first week off, and he plays a little bit like I'm not ready to say Jamie Collins is ready to play 16
games.
No,
you don't like Jamie Collins.
No, whoa.
I know, like 11 times he had like less than 2 tackles.
The facts are not mean. The facts are just facts.
Well, but you know, that's what you focus on is the negative
but
facts.
But my point is, he's
other
in this
people
group
focus
with,
on like, you know, the Colts game.
The one game.
Yeah.
So
people,
you know,
like me that tend to look at the glass half full.
Bethel Johnson was great, and you know, there's plenty of Brandon Bolden. You're right; he's a dominant running back because he was good against the Bills 2 years ago.
I will say, in your defense, if you would ask me about Bethel Johnson when Bethel Johnson was a rookie, yeah, I would have been focusing on the big plays that he made as a rookie. Now he never graduated from that.
Bethel Johnson made more plays in any given season than Jamie Collins did last year.
Yeah, I know, but he never graduated from that.
I know.
He never
that's
developed
my point.
Into anything more than.
How do
just
we know that Jamie Collins wasn't a flash in the pan for a game?
We don't.
But you know what the problem is?
But I tend
is?
To think that
he's
is.
He's a starting player who everybody thinks is going to be great. And I'm just saying I'm not ready to lump him in with Gerard Mayo and Rob Ninkovich and say, I know what I have. He'll be fine. He's my starting linebacker. I'd like to see more of him. I want to see flashes that he's better this year, that he's more consistent, that he is ready to do more. And we haven't had a lot of Jamie Collins time early this season.
Give me the front seven tonight that will start the game.
The front seven. Well, I guess I'll assume it is a 3-4 since that's everything I've seen when I've seen them out on the field defensively. I will go Tommy Kelly, Vince Wilfork, Joe Villano, and I will go Mayo. I have a question because on Twitter he was working out with like Gronkowski and someone else, like injured guys.
So you're wondering if he's going to play.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a concern there, but I would assume you would then have Jones, and Hightower was actually out there too. So I don't know. Hightower actually in that group hasn't been hurt at all. And
not that we're aware of.
So... But, yeah, I would assume it's going to be Mayo and Collins in the middle with the other three guys, Hightower, Jones, and Ninkovich on the outside in some rotation, like we've seen for a lot of the summer on the practice field. That's been essentially the starting front seven with eight guys sort of involved. Now, easily,
and then sometimes on seven-on-sevens, they just have all eight out there.
That's true. And they even really cheat by one guy supposed to be the rusher, but they just drop both.
And it's not, and I'm exaggerating because it's not those eight guys. Obviously, there's secondary guys out there instead of Villano, Wilfork, and Kelly.
Why'd you ask me that?
Revis, well, I was just curious as what you thought, really.
Did I pass the test?
Well, you kind of took the wimpy way out with Jones and Hightower. I was wondering.
I learned it from watching you.
I wanted to see if you were going to pick one of those two guys. I would pick Jones. I think Jones will be an outside linebacker and Hightower. If Mayo was in. If Mayo was in with Collins, I think Hightower will be on the sideline to start. And I think that's interesting.
So when does Hightower play?
I don't know. That's why I think it's interesting. I think he could have a significantly reduced role.
Because if he doesn't play on early downs, he's not playing on late downs.
Exactly.
So you think he's out? You think he's a bust?
Maybe.
Well, if he's a first-round backup in year three, that's not good. That's not good at all.
And listen, maybe it's like Bill always says, maybe it's a matchup thing. Maybe it's a game plan thing. Certain teams that they might want, I don't know, you know, the two pass-catching tight ends, you know, those kinds of teams, Cincinnati, maybe with the two tight ends they have, Eifert and they have Eifert, right? Eifert and Gresham. You know, that kind of a matchup, maybe they want Hightower out, or maybe they want Hightower to, you know, with his physicality to knock one of those kinds of guys around. I don't know. Maybe it's a matchup kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be interesting. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on Hightower if his reps do come down.
And if Chandler,
certainly
I mean,
on early downs.
You know, what if
I expect his reps to be limited on later downs,
right,
but if they come down on early downs, that's
and understanding it's different. If Jones is on the sideline, you know he's coming in as part of sub package,
right.
So he's not necessarily a bust if
he's not starting
because he's playing.
Could actually be the plan to limit some of his reps.
It's the difference if Hightower because he's not going to get out there in sub packages.
Chandler Jones, you could say, I don't need him playing the run. I don't need him on early downs.
Even though he's not bad at it, I don't need him to do it.
I need him. I want him to make his money and make me money on the later downs.
That would
downs.
Seem to make the most sense because Hightower, I think, is the kind of stout guy that can be setting the edge kind of player. And I don't think you'd have any problems with him doing that on early downs.
And, you know, they're a team that's going to run the football. They are certainly going to run some option. They're going to do some things with Cam Newton. They have obviously invested in their backfield. They have a fullback in Tolbert. They're not a spread crazy offense. They're going to run the ball some. So
what's unfortunate is you're probably not going to get to see the running element from Newton that you probably would because he's not going to run.
Right.
He probably wouldn't much in the preseason anyway, but coming off the ankle thing, I don't think he's not attempted a rush in the preseason.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a little research you might want to do before you come to the show.
I don't research preseason games.
I just happen to see.
I treat them like the Patriots have the last 2 weeks. I don't do scouting reports.
And I agree with you. I don't either, but I just happened to see that today. I was just teasing with you.
All right,
just
we're going to go down to the Gator State and talk to our boy Juan. Juan, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are great.
I heard you guys talking about Revis on Benjamin, but I really want to see Browner on Benjamin and see if Browner can stick big receivers.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing you bring up because obviously Benjamin is a big receiver, is a big body in the red zone. And Browner, now the one thing with Browner is the transition here, you know, when do you start to transition to whoever's actually going to play the first 4 weeks? Browner will not be here to start the season. And how do those reps unfold with Dennard and Arrington and Ryan out on the corner tonight? You know, you may get some Browner next week because it's his last chance at action for over a month. That's a good point you bring up, not just the matchup of Browner on Benjamin, but the matchup that you may see at that corner position opposite Revis as we move towards life without Browner for a month.
Yeah, because obviously he can't really stick fast receivers. So if he's going to be sticking the big receivers when we play teams, then Revis, the faster, better receiver. But even though Benjamin is big, we want to see if Browner can do anything against big receivers so we can see what he can do, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Thanks
it's
for
a good
the
point.
Call, Juan.
It's a good point because, and you and I have sort of argued about this a little bit.
What are we arguing about?
You know, there are some receivers that you thought, well, that's not fair. He's not, you know, he's not going to be able to match up with Edelman. Well, if he can't match up with Benjamin, and it's not fair because he can't match up with the smaller guys that are quick, then who's he matching up with?
I don't know.
Because I know a lot of people think that, he should be the safety because he should match up with tight ends. Well, I got to tell you, I think he's going to get a ton of penalties if he wants to try to get physical with tight ends that are going to be stronger than him.
Right.
Because he's going to be doing a lot of grabbing.
Plus, at the safety position, you don't make that contact generally at the line of scrimmage.
No,
you're already in penalty range, whereas at
corner, or an inline defender, right?
Inside defender.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah,
inline inside defender.
Inside coverage.
I forget sometimes. Yeah. I'm not a football coach. Sometimes I forget the vernacular.
We're getting a lot of emails starting to roll in at webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. And I apologize. I know
I just want to let you know Rich Perillo is on your side on the T-shirt, by the way. So evidently they're making fun of you on the radio about the T-shirts. That came up when I was on.
Son of a bitches. I bowed down to peer pressure. I told them I'm wearing a V-neck tonight. You're going to see more hair, less shirt. If that's what they want, then that's what they want. We'll see how the ladies respond. I know chest hair is a sign of like virility or something, right? Isn't that like the
well, that's what Fred says.
Yeah,
because he has all the grass hanging.
It's kind of like you're a man.
I'm a man.
Well, it's kind
of
like
it looks like he has like the end of a squirrel's tail stuffed down his shirt.
But isn't that also kind of like? Oh, yeah, it's a sign of virility. You're a real man if you have chest hair. It's like telling a woman it's good luck if it rains on your wedding day. You're just trying to make her feel better. It looks hideous. The chest hair looks hideous.
And we all have chest hair.
Well, you know, like,
it's just to varying degrees.
Right. What I think is funny.
I have a sweater under here.
What I think is funny is something like that changes with generations. Like 20 years ago, that's what people wanted.
Right.
Now everybody's, you shave it.
I bet you like Julian Edelman, he shaves.
Oh.
Metrosexual, what's it, hippie, hipster, those kind of
hipster
people.
Hipster doofus.
You added the doofus, not me.
That's Kramer.
I'm getting the old T.O. symbol from Kevin Collins.
We got a T.O.? We got a quick T.O., baby?
WebRadioPatriots.com. Join the fun on email, 1-855-PATS-500. Join the fun on the phone. And hopefully when we come back, you will not hear my voice, because I'm really hoping Mark Bertrand's going to show up at some point. Because, you know, the host of the show is supposed to actually host the show. Back after this.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots Facebook page.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Call me 800-MY-SLEEP.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Try again, voice guy. Mark Bertrand, as has become the norm here in the preseason of August action, not here, although he generally joins the show around this time. So
hey, this is when he got here last week.
I could understand the confusion, but he is once again just lacking on his commitment and contributions to this program. And I think we should remove his name from the open, personally.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
I think we should just eliminate it. Go blank air every place where it says Mark Bertrand. But Paul Perillo, introducing Dunkin' Donuts' new French vanilla and hazelnut swirls. Enjoy your favorite Dunkin' iced coffees and lattes with a sweeter, creamier flavor swirl. Try a French vanilla or hazelnut swirl in any Dunkin' coffee or latte today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. You know what else runs on Dunkin'? Patriots pregame social.
Not lately, it hasn't.
This guy's down a little bit. You're supposed to play along.
Oh, not lately,
Ixnay on the Arillope. Boy, he's awful. Let's get to some actual news,
though.
He's
got a cookie on the way coming down, too.
He's got a what on the way?
There's a cookie on the way with his name on it.
That's what I thought.
That'll cheer him up a little.
The quickie would. We have some news off Twitter from
we got some news on the Twitter?
Our friend Mike Reese. Brandon Bolden is not, looks like he won't play tonight, unclear why. Just another step in the direction of my last roster projection. I don't understand why he's still around. I just don't get it. He's always hurt, he's always something, and he's rarely helpful.
He's rarely helpful, I like that.
Like Mike writes, oh, you know, he's a core special teams player. Great. So we'll find another core special teams player. His name's Kenoris Davis, or his name is James Devlin, or his name is, I don't know, one of the linebackers.
It could be anybody.
Exactly. Do you think that Brandon Bolden's going to be on this football team?
I don't think Brandon Bolden is going to make the roster unless they can't find any running back like you and I have been predicting on Labor Day weekend.
Well, I was going to say my prediction's going to be he makes the team and then he doesn't.
Yeah, see, I think he... Yeah, and that could happen, but I
he
think
won't, he'll be here
Saturday,
like,
Saturday, August 30th. And then I think he'll survive, and then Sunday, August 31st,
he'll be gone.
He'll be gone.
I agree. Ben Jarvis Greenell will slide him in, but leaves them a little bit undermanned tonight as we talk about this. The Stephen Ridley season four. I don't know what you want to talk about. Coming off fumbles, and he's confident, and he's going to fix it. But he put the ball on the ground, and it was the last play we saw him. And I know everybody says, well, his night might have been done. Go back and watch the TV copy. He tries to run on the field. He didn't think his night was done. He didn't want his night to be done. But indeed, his night was done. And I'm not so sure he wasn't, you know, done because of the fumble that night. He could have gotten another carry or two there.
Yeah, and that's the part that I think might protect Bolden a little bit, is they really just don't have another guy.
Yeah, give it to James White. Give it to Shane Vereen. Give it to James damn Devlin.
Here's the thing. You know, I love James White. You know, I did the draft profile. We tend to fall in love with the guys that we do the profiles on.
Indeed.
Okay? Really hasn't done a whole lot. 10 carries, 27 yards, I want to say, last week.
He's young.
Okay, but he hasn't done a lot.
You know who else hasn't done a lot except for one run? Brandon Bolden.
Okay.
It's the story of his freaking career. He had like a 17-yard run, nothing else.
But they
He's
do
hurt,
know
he can't play.
But they
he
do.
This.
They do know Bolden can be a backup running back.
Right, because he had that good game a couple years
teams.
Ago in Buffalo.
You know, they know
nobody
he can,
has gotten more from less than James Bolden.
And no one just sort
James,
of whines.
James, Brandon. I was distracted by cookies entering the room.
By the way, Mike Reese also says that Gronk left the stadium moments ago. He won't play as expected. Turned to reporter and joked, "Put me down. I'm dressing." So
I think he was kidding.
He's yucking it up with the.
So clearly, Mike Reese is hanging out in the hallway out here.
Well, that's where he was when we walked by. Yeah. Remember?
Because that's where you see if people are coming and going, in which direction they're going.
And I'm not sure. Well, I guess
sure
he has.
Legal.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you're supposed to do that, but I think he has a different pass because
he also
had
a lunchbox with him.
He does the pregame stuff, and
I wonder if that's a dual-purpose lunchbox
on CBS or whatever.
Holds his
WBZ.
Lunch and gives him a 6-inch lift when he goes on TV.
All right, you know,
no shame in it. I could use a box.
Who couldn't?
Let's go to the emails now. Christian, and if you look quickly, it looks like a Okoye, but it's a Coley, O-K-O-L-I, okay. Not a Okoye.
How long are we going before we have any of these cookies?
You know, you're going to wait till Mark gets here because you don't have time to eat. Because I'm going to read this and you're going to talk. That's the way this show works.
Okay.
When there's only two of us. It's not as fun for either of us, but it's what we need to do. Hey, guys, wanted to know why people are so concerned with the strong safety position. I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have a good strong safety type, but is it really necessary to have a good strong safety to be an elite defense? As long as you have a good free safety back there, it's not really going to kill you to have an average play at strong safety. I mean, the Cardinals' D was pretty good with a pretty mediocre safety in Jeremiah Bell. The Packers, when they had a good D and won the Super Bowl, had the amazing Charlie Prepa starting at strong safety all season.
Pepra? Who is that?
He wrote Prepa.
Who's that?
Who's what?
Who had Charlie Pepra?
Are you not listening? Because I'm going to need you to listen. The Packers had a good D and won the Super Bowl, had the amazing Charlie Prepa starting at strong safety all season. And who could forget Jim Leonard on the Jets, 09/10 D, and fifth-round pick George Ayokla on the Bengals. Point is, we should be able to have a good...
He's a good young player.
Good D, even with the serviceable to average play at strong safety. And I think Harmon and Chung have shown they have ability to be serviceable players. Thanks, and F the Jets.
Okay, now, Andy, you and I disagree on this one also. So this is a good one to get into. You don't believe it can be a fatal flaw, I believe. I mean, you believe it could be a fatal flaw, not having a quality safety. I would tend to agree with the emailer, although not with the emailer's examples. I mean, Arizona had a good defense. That's great. They didn't make the playoffs. Green Bay had that one year that they won it, that they forced a bunch of turnovers. But in general, that wasn't a really good defense. And that got proven over the years. They're just a totally offensive team. Now, the one thing that I'll say in the emailer's on the emailer side was that particular year, Charles Woodson had a tremendous season. He was the defensive player of the year, I believe, the year they won the Super Bowl. And you have a guy like that in Darrelle Revis. So maybe it wouldn't matter, you know, who's playing, you know, one of the safety spots. But I think George Iloka, he's the kid from Boise State, I think. He's supposed to be a pretty good young player. Now, I don't know how well he played last year. I don't watch every Bengals game. But I think that he is supposed to be a talented young player, you know, along the lines of right now, like Calvin Pryor and your boy, the one.
Buchanan.
So I don't necessarily think the examples are really good. And Seattle has the ultimate free strong safety combination. Earl Thomas free and Cam Chancellor in the strong
side. Talk about it not suiting his point, so we'll leave
that
out.
So that's why I don't like the examples, but I don't believe.
I also have, is Devin McCourty going to be great?
Well, how good is Devin McCourty? Right. Well, I would have that question. Again, I don't agree with his examples, but I agree with the overall premise. I don't think if Daron Harmon or Patrick Chung or if maybe it's one of the corners, I think it's going to be one of the corners. I think it's going to end up being Arrington or Ryan. I don't believe that will cost them something this year.
So you weren't at all concerned with the way the Eagles sort of took advantage
of
that
spot? Don't confuse
that
with no concern at all. I just don't think that when you look at the end, I mean, very few teams have no questions. They just have 22 starters that they feel great about, and that's the way it goes. I think that they feel probably pretty good about 18 or 19 of their spots in the starting lineup.
Sure.
And I think that's probably more than most teams can say.
Yeah, but how good are they? What are you doing?
I think they're pretty good. We are on the air, you know.
You know,
yeah, well,
we
could hear
that.
That.
That's okay, though, because he's going to sound a lot better.
I don't think so. This is what I was born with.
That's actually, that
got.
Does sound like a very baritone. Are you Gary Tangway?
Yeah. Okay, Paul. We previewed this email.
So does that make any sense to you? I just don't feel like that's going to be the fatal flaw.
Yeah, I'll let you know in February or January.
Great.
Now sound a million times better.
That's nice. I mean, I'd like to be. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Fred Kirsch.
That's what fatal flaws are. They ultimately are the reason you fell short.
But tell me why you think it's going to they're going to fall
because
short
because
of that.
Because if I see Julius Thomas bitch-slapping them like I saw Zach Ertz doing it the other day, and he does it in the end zone in an AFC title game to score the winning points, I'll say, boy, it would have been nice to have somebody who could actually do something there.
What's the score of the game?
I don't know.
Well, that matters
for
to me.
Crying out loud.
That matters to me.
Everything matters to you.
Well, if they lose,
I'm not going to let you get me into some semantic argument like you would bat Fred Kirsch around in. We're talking in generalities. It is August 20-something.
We'll continue to talk in generalities, and I'll
that's
say
that's what we do this time of year because we don't actually have
if the
specific
matchup.
If they
get to the AFC Championship game, and no, well, you had them already there. It's Julius Thomas batting them around. Okay, so if he bats them around and they can't handle him and the tight end kills him and that's the reason why they lose. 38-34, I'll say, Andy Hart, you were right. But if Julius Thomas has a big game and bats them around and they end up winning the game, you know, 31-16, sorry, I'm not going there. I know you will, because it'll never be the other guy's fault if they don't score a lot of points in the playoffs. So that's where I would. That's why I asked you, like, what's the score of the game?
I don't know.
I don't think it will be the difference between them going to the Super Bowl or not.
Fatal flaws are recognized in hindsight.
Right. So you can be right no matter what.
No, that's what a fatal flaw is.
If they don't win the Super Bowl, you can say the reason was they didn't have a strong safety that you thought was suitable.
Every team has issues. Every team has weaknesses. Every team has places where they come up short. But you don't know if it becomes the fatal flaw until you see the final game.
What was the fatal flaw last year?
For the Patriots?
Yeah.
Offense.
Okay. Interesting.
Lack of crap on offense.
Interesting.
There was no way in hell they were going to stop the Broncos.
They was. They
but
was
they could
no
have
way in
competed.
Hell.
And they didn't compete offensively. They had nothing.
Things
they had Matthew Mulligan.
Here.
A little bit.
What did I walk into?
Hey, who's this guy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You walked into the second hour of the Patriots pregame social.
I was hoping to make it by
You're
post-game.
A terrible host.
Hey, I'm Mark Bertrand, and we'll wrap it up in a moment.
Hey, everybody, we're going to go to a party at Bertrand's house. Knock, knock, knock. Where's the host of this party? Hello, is anybody home? I was invited here. Where the hell you been?
Did you have to host today?
Yeah, okay. With Felger. So, I mean, you went through that this week. You know what that's
fun.
Like.
I had fun.
You know what that's like. It just kept me in the studio a little bit longer than I wanted to be, you know?
Very disappointed in you.
It just took me some time to get here. I almost got killed like 14 times on the
because
way
of you or others?
Other people. It was not me this time.
It's always others.
Not me this time. Last week it would have been my fault. This week it was their fault. That's what I would say.
Okay, well, you're here for the first email I'm going to read from Melvin, who's hammering us. Name the top
four. Melvin in Tennessee?
Melvin in Tennessee.
All right.
I'm glad you know everybody. That's good. Name the top four defensive ends, and how comfortable are you with each? Paul Perillo wants to break this down because he's going to go all Matt Chatham on us. Go.
The defensive ends in the 3-4 or the 4-3? Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah.
Okay. I do think that's a spot that could potentially be that they lack depth if they stay in the 4-3. And I think that might be part of the reason why Bill wants to maybe make this change that from last year to the three-man front. I think if you're talking three-man front, I think they're fine. You have guys like Tommy Kelly. You have Silver Solinga, who could play inside or outside. Joe Villano, who can play inside or outside. Chris Jones is, I think, strictly a defensive end. Dominique Easley, I can't believe I left him out this long because it's Tommy Kelly and Dominique Easley should be the first two names out of here. So I think 3-4, they're perfectly fine at defensive end. 4-3, you're basically talking Ninkovich and Chandler Jones. I don't really feel comfortable about anybody else playing after that. I think Easley would probably translate to a guy that could play end in a 4-3 as well, although we haven't seen him do that yet. Beyond that, Michael Buchanan, Jake Beckett, Will Smith, guys that don't excite me.
You know what I'm not a huge fan of?
3-4-4-3 talk?
No.
I'm not a big fan of that myself.
But we're reducing how much we do it. Chandler Jones in a 3-4? Just doesn't excite me. Like, I'd much rather see him playing in a 4-3.
Paul, you want to counter that with your little addendum to that belief?
I'm not quite sure.
Paul only bitches when Chandler Jones takes steps backwards. As long as if he bumps a back and goes out in the flat a little bit, he's okay with it. But as
I don't want
Paul,
him like 15, 20 yards downfield.
Ever.
As long as he's rerouting a tight end or covering a back in the flat or rushing the passer, I'm fine.
See, Paul, I even have an issue with him having to reroute tight ends and hitting the guy coming off the
line. Well, you got to play football, Mark. You know, Andy scraped to see in college.
I'm actually on Mark's side. I used to say when Sean Merriman is going anywhere except toward the quarterback, it's a win for the Patriots offense.
If you look at the guys the Patriots have up front on defense, who has the highest ceiling in your opinion as a potential pass rusher? A guy that has the skills to get after the quarterback and penetrate. Chandler Jones.
But don't you think if he was a 3-4 outside linebacker, he'd be predominantly rushing the passer?
I think he would, but I think it would take away from what he would be if he could just know that he's lining up at a 4-3.
I personally think that if he was standing up on the edge, he might be a better pass rusher than he is down as an end.
Why?
I think he might be able to utilize his athleticism more. I don't think he's a bull rush guy. I think he's a speed guy.
Oh, but there's plenty of guys that speed rush out of a three-point stance, 4-3 guys.
Yeah, I mean,
never really seemed to hurt Dwight Freeney. He's a speed guy, and he kicked ass out of the stance.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good example. You have any more?
I don't know. Any good speed rusher? Julius Peppers, I think, is a speed rusher.
I liked him sort of as a versatile guy that could do a bunch of different things.
Oh, I like him as a defensive end who's getting after it. I kind of agree with Mark, and it's why all offseason I said I wasn't really a big fan of
3-4. I don't want him
3-4.
Covering. I agree with you. I don't want him covering. That all three of us are in agreement in.
I just don't. To me, you drafted this guy to be your premier pass rusher with the 21st pick in the draft or whatever the hell he was. And
by the way, I don't think Chandler Jones is Julius Peppers.
No, who does?
No, I'm just saying as an example. I don't think he was that kind of an athlete.
He was drafted to be that kind of their edge player.
Yeah,
that's what he was drafted to be. Now, you can argue that he hasn't lived up to it. He's not as good as he should have been or should be or will be, whatever.
Well, he's got two seasons under his belt.
But to put him, to take away from some of those opportunities, I think is questionable a little bit.
That's how I feel. I'm not saying that he couldn't play because I think he could. I don't disagree with you guys.
I don't disagree with you guys, but I do think that might be part of the genesis of this is because that they feel like they lack depth on that spot. Now, if Easley can play defensive end in sub packages and not just be an inside guy, then maybe that adds a little depth there. Because like I said, I'm not enamored with any of the backups they have, and I thought they had opportunities to go out and get some guys. You know, we talked Jared Allen all year, all off season. You probably don't want to do that, but anyway. Michael Buchanan, Will Smith, Jake Beckett, Zach Moore. No one that I look at it. If they stay strictly in a 4-3, I look at a repeat of last year. You better hope Ninkovich and Jones stay healthy because they're playing 95% of the snaps.
Nah, pass rush will be better because the coverage is better. That's what Fred Kirsch says. We're gonna go to our.
Wait, do you disagree?
We'll see. It doesn't mean your pass rush is better. It means your secondary is better. You've done nothing to upgrade your pass rush. Avi in Miami has been waiting a long time because I accidentally forgot you were on hold, Avi. Avi, what do you got tonight?
Andy, what's up, man?
I'm overwhelmed in the big chair. This is where Mark should be. I'll admit it. He's really the host. He's like the real radio dude. I'm the funny guy in the corner. But I apologize for the long wait.
It's okay. Paul, Andy, you guys rock. Mark, you're awesome. You're late. It's okay.
I'm used to it.
It's okay.
So are they.
I know. Hey, listen, so I have two questions. I mean, you guys kind of touched on them, but first thing is this whole 3-4-4-3. I agree with kind of most of what you guys said. My only thing is, and I agree, if you stick to a 4-3, I mean, I like Buchanan, you know, but as my, you know, primary backup, it's not enough. It's same thing's going to happen, you know, over and over again. My thing is if you do go to 3-4, which there is more depth, I don't see Chandler Jones playing on third down. So you're taking basically my best player out, you know, and on third down. I don't agree with that.
Wait, why would Chandler Jones not be playing on third down?
So, all right, so let's say you have third down, right?
First of all, in third down, the whole 3-4-4-3 kind of goes out the window, and they go to a subset with one defensive lineman and extra defensive back. So Chandler Jones will be in there, and he will likely have his hand in the dirt rushing as a down lineman next to maybe Vince Wilfork.
All right, now I'm going to shut up. All right.
No. This is a free discourse. I want to go back and forth.
Yeah, I was thinking more like, you know, we keep a 3-4. It's third and seven. I see Chandler Jones. I'm going straight for him. I'll put a running back over there, and I'll go straight for Chandler Jones. I don't know. I've never seen that man cover. I've never seen him, you know, someone against.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Rose, McCoy, you know, like, I mean, that's a problem for me right away.
Yeah, we've seen very little in coverage, but I did see him fall on his butt one day, and it wasn't pretty.
Okay. Well, my second question is, it's with Paul. Paul, why do you think a nickel cornerback can transition into strong safety? I don't see Arrington or Ryan out there. I mean, I don't want to see Chung. I want to see Harmon, man. That's the guy that I've been, like, hearing all preseason, and all of a sudden, through these observations that you guys are giving me, he's not, you know, getting as many reps as I thought he would.
Agreed.
So what's going on over here?
Paul.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's a question for Bill Belichick, but he hasn't had as many reps as I would have thought coming into training camp and through the preseason. Now, what I have seen of him hasn't been overly impressive. I still don't see. I saw a guy taking bad angles in the first game against Washington. And he talked a lot about, and I actually talked to him this week, his tackling. And his tackling was a problem at times last year. And I wonder if maybe Bill looks at it that way. I can't have that guy be a so-so tackler. Kyle Arrington, for all his faults, is a terrific tackler. He's a physical corner in the run game. He can tackle.
He did a good job tackling Zach Ertz in the end zone. That was well done.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Come on.
Now, Paul, Daron Harmon mentioned he wanted to watch some guys and learn from them. Who were some of those
guys?
Well,
the only guy he actually got to was McCourty, and you know, the interviewer dropped the ball and didn't really ask for a follow-up on that.
I'm just busting you.
The interviewer would be me. Yeah, he talked about watching some guys trying to learn from some things and never really asked them, like, well, so who are those, some of those guys you were trying to learn from? Idiot.
Avi, what else you got? I want to give you your full call here since you waited a hell of a long time.
All right.
You've been here longer than Mark has.
Absolutely.
yeah, that's right. So, one more thing. It's about these guys that are injured. Am I going to see Dobson tonight or the second round pick from Green Bay? What is it, Worthy?
Worthy. You might see Worthy. But I don't think you'll see Dobson, and I'll be a little surprised if you see Worthy, too. I mean, he's only been practicing for less than a week now. He was on NFI, and thanks for the call, Avi. He was on NFI with the Packers. So, yeah, I'm not sure how much. I would want to play if I were him. Because
do you have any hope for him to be okay?
Who?
Decent as a player?
I have nothing to base it on. Yeah. Like, I have no idea. He's got multiple injuries. He has done very little. He was good in college enough to be a second-round pick. That's all I have. I got
and
nothing.
Again, I use the word hope because that's basically what it would be.
And I mentioned to Paul one day, you know, everybody talks about these guys that might earn a roster spot because of the suspensions. Oh, Malcolm Butler will stay at least through October because Browner won't be here. Well, Worthy could be a guy that kind of sticks around on one of those extra spots just because I think, how are they going to know what they have in a week? Maybe he sticks around just to see, and then he's cut come October when Browner has to come back. Because, okay, we know he's really not that good. The Packers weren't wrong. He stinks. So I don't know. I have no expectations on him, good or bad. I don't know how you could, really. Paul's just eating a cookie, so he has no comment.
I bet it's tasty.
Now we're going to go to Paul's counterpart in Mexico City. Hey, guys. That's Pablo, by the way, right? That's Paul in Spanish. What would make you happier to see from Collins? Plays in coverage or plays in pass rush? I would rather see him impacting the rush, personally. It's our biggest area of need, but I expect to see him covering mostly. What do you guys think? Pablo, you want to answer?
Chandler Jones?
He really wasn't listening.
No, I wasn't.
Jamie Collins.
I don't want to.
The man apparently can't chew and listen at the same
time. I want him in coverage because I think he can do it. And I don't think Chandler Jones, as a comparison, I don't think that's his strong suit.
Oh, Collins is definitely better in coverage.
They need somebody other than a defensive back to be able to cover with some sort of...
Jimmy Anderson.
Someone that's going to be on the field a lot. I don't think Jimmy Anderson's going to be on the field
I'm not sold Jimmy Anderson won't see some time on the field in sub-packages and third downs and things of that nature.
Well, maybe he will be.
He's the best coverage linebacker I've seen, personally.
I'd like to see Jamie Collins sort of... I like to see more games like the playoff game. Now, not with all of that stuff, but games where he's used
right,
like
Paul.
That playoff game.
I would
Shut
like
up.
To see more games like the playoff
see,
game
even,
where
even
he
when
has
you,
sacks,
even when you explain it, he still has to be a know-it-all.
I certainly would like to see him evolve into a Hall of Fame linebacker.
Go find your T-shirt.
What was that?
Go find your T-shirt.
Oh, I thought he said a bad word there.
I thought he was about to say something else. The G and the F and the...
This is... hey, guys, it's Mo in Vermont.
What? And the Z and the Q. What? Mo in Vermont?
My son came home and said, Dad, I do want to see the Guardians movie, but I heard that F-U-K word is in it. And I go, oh, good. I'm kind of glad you don't really know how to spell it, son.
That's the football movie, right?
No, the like weird superhero movie.
What movie?
Guardians, something Guardians.
Oh, Guardian at the Gate or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Guardians
but
at
it has
gate.
That F-U-K word in it, F-U-K? So you got to be careful. Hi, guys. It's Mo in Vermont. I'm writing in because I hear you getting down on Brandon Bolden a lot. Does he not get many practice reps or what? From what I've ever seen of him, he has had that violent, aggressive running style we all love. Other than that, I have only ever thought he was Ridley with two major differences. I'm not sure I've ever seen him fumble or catch a pass. Well, I've seen him do both on the exact damn same play last year. Or does he regularly put the ball on the ground in practice and that keeps him off the field in games? Thanks again and go Pats. What keeps him off the field in games is generally injuries, suspensions, weird stuff, and he's not reliable and ready to go.
I don't really have a lot to add to that. I think he is average at best in all aspects of being a running back, whether it be as a catcher, a blitz protector, you know, fill-in ball carrier. I don't see him do anything at a level that causes me to say, wow, he's good at that. The only thing I see him doing on a regular basis is play special teams. And you know how I feel about special teams. I don't think
of the three phases of the game, Paul.
No, it's really not.
Matt Chatham's listening. Be careful.
I think that...
It's a key aspect of
the game.
I don't
want you to get chastised on the broadcast.
I think there are a couple of guys that really stand out in the kicking game. I think Matthew Slater stands out in the kicking game.
But Paul will say Brady's a good quarterback, and Chatham will say, I don't really see it that way.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He's a contrarian.
But I don't feel like if you don't have Matthew Slater out there, all of a sudden your special teams are going to suffer. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he missed several games last year, and someone else is in that role, and they're making the plays because that's the role that's designed to make those plays. You know, the gunner on the punt team is going to get down there and cause that punt returner to either fair catch or he's going to have to make him miss. Matthew Slater is good at it. I'm not saying he's not good at it. But Brandon Bolden being good at special teams, someone else could just as easily fill in on special teams and be able to provide something to offense or defense. I don't think Bolden does that.
Don't you think what keeps Bolden
around? Is that killing Bolden? No, I'm not killing him.
No, somehow you started killing Matthew Slater in the middle of that argument.
Well, no, I just don't think the special teams is valuable enough to take up just, you know, oh, he's a good special teams player.
But
I know, and I think it's
four down players.
But hold on. But Brandon Bolden on special teams is not enough to say that he is at all worth keeping because of his special
teams. I keep Matthew
ability.
Slater strictly for off the field, not for on the field. I think he's an incredible leader and an incredible presence in the locker room. If Bill Belichick thinks that way of Brandon Bolden, I'm all for keeping him too. I don't think he does. You know, a guy who's, you know, had a suspension and in and out of the lineup with various stuff. I don't think that he thinks the same way. But to me, Matthew Slater's value is in his leadership and inspiration that he provides. I don't know. Do you feel that it's just because he's such an incredible special teams player?
No.
You can't lose him?
I think all of those guys, they're off field. I think Larry Izzo, and some of it is special teams off field, sort of organizing, being an assistant.
Being an anchor. You know what I mean?
That whole unit.
Some guys don't embrace it. Some guys don't embrace it. Matt, you know, for all the criticism, well, I shouldn't say criticism, for all the teasing that Andy and I do to Matt Chatham, he embraced his role as a special teamer. It was important to him. Some guys that play linebacker and are on special teams figure, hey, this is, I did that 2 years and I'm done with that now. You know, Larry Wiggum was a guy here, you know, 15 years ago who was a Pro Bowl special teamer. He was a safety. After a couple of years, he didn't want to be a Pro Bowl special teamer anymore. He wanted to be a safety. And then the Patriots said, well, you're not a safety. See ya. Because now you become a problem.
Right.
Speaking of see ya, webradio at patriots.com. If you want to join us on email, 1-855-PATS-500, 508-298-0398 locally, or hashtag PPGS on Twitter. And when we come back, thankfully, I will be out of this chair so I can go screw around, and Mark Bertrand will be doing his job as the host of the Patriots pregame social. Peace.
The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live on patriots.com radio and the Patriots Facebook page.
We're NRG. And we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on patriots.com.
Are you bleeping deaf?
What?
You got these headphones over here turned up to like 8 billion.
Sorry. I don't hear well.
That's why I just said, are you deaf?
Yeah, I'm not deaf. I was with Felger the other day, and I sat in Zoe's seat.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
that
my
guy's
God.
Deaf.
It was like, being at a concert.
Unicorns! Show ponies!
Maybe is that a result of radio?
It is. There's actually, if...
Because when I take my
we're getting a little sidetracked here, but...
when I take my IFB out after we do TV, I can't hear out of that ear.
Well, you must have had it stuck so far in last
week.
Well,
I did. I drove that baby home.
There are some people that work in my building at the radio station that have been doing radio for 30 or 40 years.
Like who?
Veterans. Some production people. I don't want to name names.
That's and what we do here.
One of them, who is instrumental in some very great-sounding radio stuff, is like as deaf as can be.
Hardy?
No, not Hardy.
Why? When he said he didn't want to name names, why are you guessing?
He is as deaf as can be, like can't hear anything. And so the whole entire floor will like shake because he just blasts his speakers when he's doing production work. Huh. And the speakers are so loud so that he can hear them simply because he works in radio.
I didn't know I was taking my own health into my hands by doing this.
Yes, you are. You'll be fine, though. You'll just be deaf. Get a hearing aid. Right now, any of Dunkin's freshly made bakery sandwiches are just $2.99. Try Dunkin's new grilled chicken flatbread sandwich, turkey cheddar bacon sandwich, or tuna salad wrap. Grab a Dunkin' bakery sandwich for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin', plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. It's a limited time offer.
Don't try to ad lib with Paul at the end of it.
855 Pats 500 is the phone number. That's right. 855 Pats 500. Get on board. We're talking about this game tonight here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots and Panthers getting
Who's
together.
Who's going to be the second quarterback tonight?
That to me is one of the more interesting storylines because to the best of our knowledge, Ryan Mallett was healthy this week, right? He didn't miss a bunch of practice time.
Sure.
Right? We'll assume that.
Sure.
Last week, you could say, well, he missed time. He wasn't taking all his reps in practice, so that's why Garoppolo stepped up after practicing all week. If it's Garoppolo again tonight, doesn't that tell you something? Like, I didn't look at last week and say, oh, this is telling. This is, you know, reading into the depth chart. I didn't look at it like that at all. This week, I think I would. I would read into it this week if Garoppolo is going second and not.
If Garoppolo goes second, are you anointing him the backup?
Yes.
Ooh, definitive.
Yes.
I don't know that I'd be quite that willing to go there. I do think last week wasn't only maybe whatever Mallett's health was, because I don't think that was a huge issue. I think it was they wanted to see Garoppolo against a higher level of talent as they start to go down the road of, if we do need to make a decision, we need to be prepared and have all the information possible to make said decision.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on that. And I also think, and I don't know this for certain, but there's a possibility that was the plan going in. You know, maybe as far as like a month ago, you know, we're going to start off, Mallett's going to start the first game, and, you know, we'll have the kid come in the second half. And I think that we want to have Garoppolo play in game two earlier to see how he progresses from game one against the higher level of competition. But I agree with you, Mark. I didn't necessarily read so much into it that I said, well, that, I guess that means they've made up their mind and they want to see what Garoppolo is. I don't feel like that was the case.
I just know that last week after that game, it couldn't possibly make things awkward with Mallett, right? Because he has no ground to stand on if he's upset or concerned about the fact that he wasn't the second guy in the game. He had missed practice last week. If it happens again this week...
He still doesn't have a right to be upset.
I know he doesn't because he's a backup quarterback.
You've been here 4 years.
But isn't it different this week if Garoppolo is second?
Well, it's a trend. Certainly a trend.
It's a
you
trend.
Have a couple weeks to go with here.
And the circumstances going into the game are different.
And, yeah, it'll be noteworthy if he is indeed the second guy out there.
That's all. I think we can agree on this.
Now,
I think
I'm not
we can
sure
argue
I'm,
and then agree.
Well, I'm sure, not sure I'm willing to say, boom, he's the backup.
No, we can
disagree
on that.
Because if he's
the backup, no, but,
I think you have to cut Mallett. I don't think you keep Mallett as your third quarterback. Just, to me, that just seems wasteful.
I totally agree.
Completely agree. We all agree.
If they keep three,
we're in agreement.
If they keep three, then that means they feel like Mallett is that much better than Garoppolo.
Did you guys at any point call Bill Belichick a genius?
Not today.
Did someone do that?
I have many times in the past, but not today.
Johnny in L.A. writes in, let me keep this as simple as possible. Bill Belichick is not a genius.
I agree.
You can't have a subpar defense for close to a decade straight and still be considered a genius. You can't pick Tavon Wilson and Jake Beckett back-to-back in early rounds and still be a genius. Bill is
Now that's funny.
Bill is an excellent, hardworking, and extremely detail-oriented coach, but he probably would have been canned forever ago if not for TB12.
Canned forever ago, Paul.
I'm not writing this because of anything you said. Oh, there's that part. It's just been on my mind.
That's a really interesting point, Andy.
Whoa, don't include my name in here anywhere.
It's just been on my mind for a while, and it annoys the hell out of me that BB still gets so much credit when his D has been bad year after year after year because his picks don't hold up. Genius? No, dude. He's a good coach and one of the best QBs in the history of the game, Johnny in L.A. Canned forever ago? I strongly disagree with that statement.
Well, I don't. Because if Tom Brady never came along, I think he might have been canned year.
I think there's a chance he was going to get canned after the 0-1 season. If they finished 5-11 again, I think he might have been gone.
I wasn't processing that correctly. You know what I was thinking? It's like if Tom Brady was no longer here, they would then. I wasn't
oh,
thinking,
no, 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 no.
Had he never been here.
He will never get fired.
Sorry.
Unless he does something off the field that causes shame to the organization, he will never get fired.
Right. Again. In the context of Brady was never here at any point, then yeah, I would have to kind of agree. It would have been a long time.
No, I mean, his track record, let's face it, he's a great coach.
Right.
And I know Johnny in LA is not saying he's not a great coach, but I think he did kind of sell him a little short by saying that it's a great quarterback and he's a very good coach. It might be a little bit the other way. I think Brady, at the very least, Brady benefits from being with Belichick as much as Belichick benefits from being with Brady. Would you guys agree with that?
I just think he's questioning the word genius, and I have often questioned the word genius.
Well, I mean, listen, we throw stuff around in sports. I don't quibble with stuff like that.
I do
agree. I think that he's considered this defensive mastermind, and it's been a while since he's had what I would say is a defense that's been worthy of the offense for sure.
Well, 9 of 14 years, he's had the bottom quarter of the league in third down defense. Nine of 14 years.
Nine of his 14 years, he's been in the bottom half.
Quarter.
Oh, someone did some more prep than he said he did.
I occasionally prep.
It's got a big broadcast tonight, and it's not this one.
Oh, I won't be using that.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of stuff.
This is where I say the NFL is mad because Peyton Manning didn't win.
So that was weak sauce, by the way. That was so weak.
Catering to my audience and the rest of the country by accident.
Yeah, because they never make any rule changes for Brady. There's only a rule named after him.
They would never.
It's not actually named after him.
It's unofficially named after him. Paul, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. I wanted to ask you this question. How much of
Carson
his defense...
Palmer blowed his knee? Ah, these things happen. Tom Brady, we need to change things now.
Well, how much of his defense will we see on the field tonight? And how long will the, starting group of players be on the field tonight?
Paul is predicting 2+ quarters.
35 snaps.
Ish. I will tell you, Brady has thrown, looking back at his third preseason game, going back like 4 or 5 years, it's like 24 attempts, 23 attempts, somewhere in that range of passes thrown.
You know what would be interesting
to
see?
You missed my stat earlier. He's also been sacked twice and thrown an interception in 3 consecutive third preseason games.
Did you get that?
Sacked once?
Sacked twice. And one interception.
Oh, I was going to reverse that, yeah.
He's thrown a pick and been sacked twice in each of the last third preseason games.
The Patriots are 1-5 in their last number 3 preseason games.
Somebody did research.
And they've been throttled in a couple of those.
Yes. And Brady pointed that out himself in his press conference this week. It would be nice to have a good one.
A couple of those losses were also performances that the first team did very well. And then the backups came in and coughed up. I think they lost like 36-35 to someone. But last year, 40-9, I believe, to Detroit.
That wasn't misleading.
3 years ago, they also got killed in Detroit by a very lopsided score. So they probably want to clean this up. I remember one in Cincinnati several years ago that he was so mad. It might have been the second week, though. He was so mad he took the starters out and then put them back in because he was so mad at them.
We actually had an email, though. The Panthers played on Sunday, I believe. And I guess the story out of Carolina was that they prepared for that game, the game plan. There's people wondering how they may treat this game as opposed to the Patriots.
Yeah, I think Rivera was quoted as saying he was looking for 35 snaps tops tonight. So I don't know if that might be a signal to Belichick. No sense of really pushing the pedal if the other team's going to be out, but he might look at it as they need the work regardless of who the work is against.
Yeah, I think Bill's going to do what Bill do.
Let's go back to the phones. Greg's in Connecticut. He's up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Don't shake your head at me.
I just did.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
We are doing great.
Awesome. Hey, want to talk about the offense with you guys real quick.
Let's do it.
Paul and Andy, through PFW and progress, you guys have talked a lot about, Edelman and Amendola. They've looked pretty good. Seems to me, though, that, they're kind of the short, shifty kind of receiver slot guys, right? And to kind of make them effective, you got to be able to keep the defense honest and stretch the field a little bit. So compared to last year, do you think we have an ability to do that any better than we did last year? Stretch the field with some deeper balls, maybe open up some space for those guys underneath?
No.
Not at all.
Not right now, I don't.
I'm not saying it won't happen, but I haven't seen it yet. No.
I mean, all we've seen this summer in terms of that, for the most part, is Tim's. And I'm not expecting Tim's to do it with the first offense and Tom Brady to open the season. Aaron Dobson hasn't been out there. A lot of people think he can be an outside guy that can make some plays down the field. I don't think Brandon LaFell is the type of guy that's going to make some plays down the field. And we haven't seen Rob... What?
Tompkins, can he... Has any speed? He's got the height, right?
So. He's got the height. He gets off the line well. I don't think he has great speed, and he hasn't done anything consistently enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying that they won't have any, you know, more success down the field than they did last year. I just, we haven't really seen much of it yet. We haven't seen the consistency from any of those guys. To be honest with you, the guy who's made the most plays down the field in training camp is Edelman.
Well, that's my whole thing, where I think he is going to be down the field more, and I think he's, I think there's a chance he has a really good year and builds. You know, a lot of people, I think, believe last year was the aberration. That's what he is. Even at his best, he's sort of a 10 yards a catch, 1,000 yard, 100 catch guy. I've seen a guy on the practice field that looks to me like he's focused on getting down the field a little bit more this year, making some bigger plays, sort of using his body, as I've talked about, to shield off defenders and do different things down there. Maybe Amendola can take over a little bit more of the underneath stuff, and maybe Edelman can come in a little bit more, get some more chances down the field. You know, well, he did play 51% of his snaps on the outside last year, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, Mark, I do. And I will say this, too. We haven't seen Dobson yet.
Correct.
And I don't know if the lack of an offseason is completely going to kill him for year two. But he, to me,
think?
He to me is the guy that has – he's 6'3", so he does have size. And he's fast enough and strong enough to make plays down the field.
Are you expecting a big year two from him?
No, right now. No, because of the inactivity
Same
in the offseason.
I don't think you can expect it. You'll take it.
I'll take it. And I do think he'll make some plays, but it probably won't be for a while.
But he made some plays last year.
Yeah, I think
you're looking for more than some plays.
I agree. That's what you asked me. If I expect a big year two jump, I said no.
Yeah, I don't even think there's going to be a jump at all. Like, I look at
crawl,
him and say it's a year
stumble,
two, you know, hopefully
year two
status
stumble.
Quo.
That might be a pulse story for you, Paul.
Boy, a status quo would be a big disappointment, wouldn't it?
For Dobson.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree with
you. Being realistic, realistic about where he's at coming off the injury, I mean, he could get healthy, but...
Who has the best chance to have a great year? Great year.
Out of who? The receivers?
I was going to give you some options.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You're very, very...
go ahead. Is this a poll question?
Julian Edelman? We don't have polls anymore. How come we don't have a poll center? What happened to the poll center?
We don't have a guy manning the poll center.
Matt's sitting in there doing nothing.
That's a Fred question.
That's good dead air right there.
All right, so Julian Edelman.
I tried to get that happen, but...
Who wants to be our intern?
He tried to get that happen.
No, to happen, sorry.
Julian Edelman.
Don't put that out there.
Rob Gronkowski.
I'm kidding.
Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski.
Aaron Dobson.
Who has the better year?
No, sorry, can you start over?
What's the question?
Who has
said it four times already?
It's almost never C. I'm going to go C.
Okay, well, good. I'm going to make it C then. That you're wrong.
Give us the
options.
Who
is the most likely to have a great year?
Most likely to have a great
year. And great
year.
Is relative to the player.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. Aaron Dobson,
okay.
Brandon LaFell, Danny Amendola, Kenrell Tompkins.
I'm going to go Gronk.
Because Gronk, a great year, is like 85 catches, 1,500 yards, and 16 touchdowns, right?
Sign me up.
I'm going to go Edelman.
I am torn between the two answers you guys gave. I don't think any of the other guys are really legitimate options.
You gave us a lot of crappy options.
Well, I think LaFell is an option. If you go on relative to the player, I think he could have a really good year, much better than you're thinking Brandon LaFell is going to have. I think he could, based on what I've seen the last 2 weeks, But cautiously enthusiastic.
He would have
about
to have
him.
75 catches and 10 touchdowns.
For him, he has to make that much of a jump to be great?
He had 50 catches last year and 6 touchdowns.
Okay, was Julian Edelman's year last year
catches?
Great? I think it was.
Oh, I don't. I think he's possible that he could have a great year this year. I don't think he had a great year last year.
Yeah, I think he very well
You don't
could.
Think that was great for Julian Edelman?
No, I think that was a slot receiver and somebody's going to catch the ball.
I think it was great for Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's how I'm talking.
No, I don't. Because I think Julian Edelman's capable of more than that. I don't think he broke a lot of plays. I don't think he maxed him out. I think the guy I've seen as a punt returner, if I see him after catches, can add another 500 yards to what he did.
Okay. I don't think that can happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Hey, Beetle.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm being promoted to the poll center here by Chris Ferreira. I got a poll for you.
That just happened?
That just happened.
Okay.
How much do you want to see Brady play tonight? And here are your choices. Less than a quarter, one quarter, the first half or into the second half?
So into the second half.
Into the second half.
It's a terrible poll. So, should be 100%.
I'm sorry. So we'll see. that'll get up on the Patriots Facebook page. Chris is putting that up.
Good job, Chris.
Man, how much is he going to play? Well, wait a minute. How much is he going to play as opposed to how much you want to see him
different
play?
Poll question.
Well, I think the question was how much do you want to see him?
Leave that in the comments area.
Three quarters.
It is. How much do you want to see
him? I don't want to see him.
How much do you want?
I want to see him come back out and play.
And also,
I'd be perfectly happy if he played three series and then watched the rest of the game.
Sort of new to this year, there's the chat function and the polls are also on the front of Patriots.com as well. So they're easily accessible on the front of our webpage as well.
Okay.
It's very good to know.
So we don't necessarily need a poll center, is what you're telling us?
No, we need a poll center. There's more.
What is it that you do?
I don't really
that
know.
That you can't just do what you just did and read it in the course of the day?
I in theory, probably could. it's just we've always had.
But you know how that works. Once you do it and volunteer for it, it's then your responsibility.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope.
You got a responsibility.
All of a sudden, next year, I'm not back and Kevin's the host.
No, that's terrible. We don't want that.
Nobody
that happened. That happened once last year, I think.
Although he'd probably be here to start the
show. It was bad.
Did
you have a wedding last year?
Yeah,
early in the season.
I did.
I got another one this year, fellas.
Yeah, I did 2 hours. The whole thing.
October.
Did you tell Freddie?
I did. He's very much aware of it.
Yeah, just like he was aware of the DraftKings.
Yeah, what happened with that? He was asking me about that.
Nothing. We'll move on. Go ahead to Mark Bertram, the host.
I'm tired of weddings. I'm tired of people getting married.
How old are you?
29.
Yeah, it's about over.
I just can't wait for it to be over.
It's about over.
Stop getting married. It's not that great.
Aren't you married?
Yeah, very much. Happily.
Love my wife.
Yeah. But I had mine on a Saturday night. It's like these Sunday people. Like, what are you doing having it on a Sunday? Right?
Well, weddings are tough to have these days, aren't they?
Sunday in the fall.
A lot of stuff books out.
Sunday in the fall. This is football season. Get the hell out of here with your wedding.
That's why people start having them on Fridays and different days.
Yeah, bad friends is what it comes down to. Bad friends that want me in their weddings.
Those are the people that are trying to save a few bucks.
Oh, I always thought that was Friday.
Yeah, no, Friday night is the people saving a few
Friday
bucks.
Night wedding is a save. So let's save some.
Son
you
of
know.
A bitch, you can make
However, money. I will take the Friday night wedding in the fall. I have one of those coming up in a few weeks, which will not interfere with this schedule at all. I'll go to the wedding on a Friday night. I'll be here on Sunday.
Ish.
No, I'll be there on time.
So who's in with Gasper that week? Anybody need anybody to fill in?
He has been just like...
You looking for work?
Clamoring to get on that station.
Looking for a little work? You were on there this week, Paul.
I was. I enjoyed it.
Ever since he found out he was Wiggy's backup, and once Wiggy was out, that he was in the mix more.
Well, I know I can't talk about all the sports like Jermaine Wiggins.
No, now he talks about all of everything, right? He's a morning show host.
Yeah. Would you rather have cross hands?
Breaking down politics,
we can have, is
current
really?
Events.
Oh no!
Isn't that what you have to do on a morning show? Be ready to talk everything.
I'm guessing something like that. More pop culture than anything. Danny from Spain writes in. Hi there, guys. I'm late to the pregame show. Did you guys talk about
like Mark
Dominique Easley? That's right. It's the fashionable thing. Are we going to see Easley on the field today? I know we haven't seen him yet, but if you had to compare him to a vet in the NFL, who would it be?
Warren Sapp.
Andy, what's the Twitter machine have to say about Dominique Easley? I haven't seen anything on him.
I haven't seen too much either on the Twitter machine, Paul, and I've been following it.
I know. I've been trying to keep track of everybody. I know they said Bolden and Gronk appear to be out, and then there's been comments that Jarrell Worthy was out there jogging in game pants.
Jamie Collins has a green dot, and people are assuming that means both Hightower and Mayo could be out tonight.
Haven't seen anything about Easley.
Couldn't that also just mean that they want to switch it up and get some in-game experience of another guy?
Certainly could mean that.
Using the communication device?
Certainly could mean that. Now, the other confusion there was early on when Rob Gronkowski and one other injured player were running, there was also Mayo and Hightower with them.
Running.
So.
Just like last week, you're gonna get all mad at me.
One day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
People said they like a serious pre and post game show, and that Paul's dragging it down.
I can read the email for you if you'd like. No, there was an email from a guy who we used to know and used to like, who absolutely eviscerated Andy.
Oh,
and
we
I.
knew him.
Yeah. Oh, is this about the post game show?
From the post game.
Wait,
I
who
heard
was
about
it?
This.
How'd you hear about it?
I heard about it through back channels.
Oh, really?
Who was it? I apparently didn't read the name on it.
Jared from Vermont.
I've never heard that
kid
name
that
before
did
in my
some
life.
Stuff here.
Oh, I have no idea who that is.
Jared Pendek.
Sounds like a smart individual.
I knew him?
Intelligent.
I have never heard that name before in my life. What do you mean he did
knows
stuff,
his stuff
here?
He was here for a little bit, I think. In an intern.
Jared?
In an intern setting, I believe.
I do not recall.
It's kind of like when
Kevin. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like you.
Well, that's okay. He can go elsewhere.
I sympathize there.
Gary Tangway is available pre and post.
And
feel free to go listen.
Number one rule of radio, Andy just broke it. Go listen to the other guys if you don't like it.
It's like, you know, Jeremy Roenick. You know, we don't want you at our games. Oh, good.
Is that the
number
one rule of
radio? Thanks, Jeremy.
You don't tell him to go listen to the other
never
guys.
That's tell
like
him.
Number one rule of radio.
Never tell him to
don't
go
ever tell
else.
Them to go listen to somebody else.
That's good to know.
Or tell them not to listen.
You're not Mike Tyson.
I don't need you. Go listen to somebody else. Let's go to an email.
Sorry, Jared. We want you to listen. We love you. I'm going
to
pretend
don't
think
do
you're
that,
a douchebag.
You don't direct him to somebody else. You know what I mean? Yeah, whatever.
John
I
in
really
Chicago.
I can't argue with many of the things that he said in that email, by the way.
John in Chicago.
Which is the ironic
can't
part.
Either, but, you know, don't listen.
John just wanted to say thanks. He was having a miserable day, and we are the best for making him laugh on his car ride home.
See, Jared?
So that's the
go
anti,
bleep yourself.
That's the anti-Jared.
Well, that's
right
everybody.
There.
That's everybody else.
Right.
Everybody else was like, it's so great that Andy and Paul are helping Mark out,
right.
Because Mark was all by himself last year.
He was boring. He was negative.
Totally.
So most people
what's
are
the,
very, very
the
enthusiastic.
What's the Facebook group, the PFW Elite?
Yes.
They hate me.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. They
really?
Don't like me, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're the PFW Elite.
One so of the, one of the,
just so you know, they hate me and Andy, too.
Yeah, one of the Elite members emailed me last year during a postgame. They're like, these people freaking hate you. I was like, oh, well, I don't know what to tell you about that.
But these are the people that think that
see,
Ridley,
I would have told them listen to something else.
These are the people that think that Ridley doesn't fumble.
Oh.
I mean, that's the level of fan that this is. I mean, nothing
well,
that
he does
ever
fumble.
Happens.
Here's Paul Rippon, the PFW Elite.
Oh, they hate us too. That's why
they
I'm telling
me?
Mark
Rippon.
Actually,
so they're a bunch of frauds.
Do they hate me?
Oh, I didn't call them frauds. I'm just saying
they hate
everybody that says me. Like I said, they're the kinds of fans that think that Ridley doesn't fumble.
So wait, if they're all about PFW, why do they hate you guys?
They're not all about PFW.
Yeah. So why are they PFW Elite?
I don't know. They don't really make any sense. And we generally don't acknowledge them on our air.
Preamble oh, I'm sorry. Am I breaking a rule here?
Yeah, that's not the really. Number one rule of Patriots.com radio. Jeez.
I'm sorry. Let's go back to the phones.
And this
Brad,
is why Jared hates us.
Brad's in Maine.
But Jared's not listening anymore, so he won't know this.
Hey, Brad.
How's it going?
We just gave him more publicity than he's ever had in his life.
What are you looking forward to seeing tonight?
Honestly, I'm kind of curious why Bolden's not playing. I think the running game's a little bit interesting. I'm kind of the opinion that I think that the situation when it comes to Ridley and Vereen is going to be really interesting next year because I honestly feel like neither one of them will be here. You know, I think that Ridley's going to have a hard time getting some money because of his fumbling issue, and I think Vereen's kind of in the same boat as far as healthy and, you know, yeah, he's versatile, but I personally don't think Vereen's a very good, you know, runner. I think he's better as a receiver, so... I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with the running game tonight, and I just want to see what you guys think about it.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. And to me, this is Brandon Bolden, though. He's battled injuries since the spring. And then it just seems like there's always all of a sudden, no, Brandon Bolden's not playing this week. Well, how come?
I feel
like that happens like throughout his career.
I do, too, and I agree with the overall thoughts on the running backs. It's another area that we haven't focused tonight. Beyond Ridley, who do you want to have carries? Is it White?
I'm not sure you say beyond Ridley.
No, but I think...
Who do you want to have carries? The guy who fumbles, the guy who's never there, the guy who's always hurt, the guy who's a rookie, or the guy who's too small to play in the NFL?
But the only guy that I feel comfortable with ever giving the ball between the tackles is Ridley. Now, he fumbles.
Right.
That's the problem with him.
Right.
Beyond Ridley, who do you even feel comfortable having the ball more than 10 times between the tackles?
Nobody.
I'm not sure there's a guy on the roster that I can say yes to.
Well, you know, Jimmy Devlin, every time we give him an opportunity, he does a little more with
it.
Okay,
as long as we're going to take it seriously and go with James Devlin. 15
carries. I would go Vereen.
Best fullback in the game, according to Tom Brady.
Yep.
He was second last year. He flip-flopped with that guy.
See, this is what Paul does.
Say, oh, I was going to so say, when I hear that the other day, I said, why? Because there's like three of them in the league?
Well, there's going to be two on the field tonight, Tolbert and Devlin.
Okay, we'll be watching both of them. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you if you want to jump on board the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. The email address, webradio@patriots.com. If you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, make sure you are using the hashtag PPGS. Getting ready for the game, the Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. We'll be back right after this.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots Facebook page.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. Also, send your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, hanging out with you right up until this game gets going. So we'll be here until 7:15, kickoff
really
at 7:30.
Really hanging out right now. I got my
hanging
pants
out.
Off.
One of the three hosts does not have pants on right now. That is not a lie.
That'd be me.
Do want to remind you here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social about Dunkin's new DD Perks Rewards program. Get a free medium beverage when you enroll at ddperks.com. Then just pay with your registered DD card or mobile app to earn points towards more free beverages. It's our way of saying thanks. Enroll today at ddperks.com. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. You guys get that yet? You got to get that. You got to get the DD Perks.
DD I got perks. It. Great. You get can pay card. Right with your phone when you go through the drive.
Yeah, I use the card more than the phone, but I like the
Sounds
card.
It's a little dangerous.
No,
it's
good. Love it. And you get all these great offers every week.
It's awesome. You're going to try it out. It's the opposite of dangerous.
Talk about expediting your checkout.
I don't have headphones on, so I can't hear anybody.
I'm just saying, expediting your checkout, it
oh,
makes
it's
so,
so
much easier.
Quick and so fast. I love it.
So it's safe?
It's yeah.
The opposite
safe.
Of dangerous?
Yeah,
it's safe? Whatever.
And it actually makes the drive-through move, which is good.
So
it's nothing worse than when the drive-through bogs.
Gonna tell you,
not that ever happens at Dunkin' Donuts. Always happens at those other places.
Check it out at ddperks.com. I recommend it. Kevin recommends it.
I recommend we never ad lib again at the end of one of those.
You gonna blame it on me this time?
Nope. This is not Paul's fault.
I didn't do anything.
We're not professionals like
I'm not,
you.
I'm not a coffee that. Drinker, so I don't have that.
No,
stuff.
He goes
not
straight
a coffee
to the
guy?
Hard stuff.
How about a donut guy?
Oh no.
What do you think?
Times 10. Michelle Muse, our design manager, say she's stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. Paul said, "Why don't you get me one of those frosted coffee rolls?"
Coffee roll,
usually the frosted one too.
That's all. They only they only have one kind.
No, coffee they don't. You can get it frosted.
No, there's a frosted one now.
Oh, well, I don't get a frosted one.
It's a coffee.
She just gets it because I just order a coffee roll.
Oh, well, you always get the frosted one, and it's tremendous.
It's like the cinnamon roll with the like honeydew.
Yeah, but that's what I get.
Yeah, then they sell
white stuff
with frosting on it too.
Oh,
go, I don't get that often then because I don't ever remember even having it. But
you
I'll
have
your
drunk and stupid. Cause she got me one too. They're phenomenal. They are tremendous. I do not want to ever know what they're about nutritionally, but they're phenomenal.
You know, you put barbecue sauce on it, and you're all done.
Just stay away from the barbecue sauce, and you're totally good. Totally good. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Eric Scalavino. He's going to join us from inside the press box, who will tell us who's got their game pants on. He'll tell us what's happening out there on the field and what he's seeing as we get ready for preseason game number 3. This show is flying by, guys. I don't know how you feel about that. It just seems to be flying by. Nick Baby Love is on the line. He sent in a song that we are going to play at the end of this program. So, of course, you want to stay tuned for that. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say... I had a rough couple of days, but I've been listening, and this is only the beginning. You know, I've been fortunate to talk to the Patriots PR department, and, you know, you guys are so kind going back to the first game I went on. And, you know, like I said, it's amazing, just to tell you the truth, between Flo Rida and DJ Khaled in Miami. So, I want to be part of this. Well, I don't put Dolphin fans on a record. This is only longtime Patriots people, so I just want to tell you thank you and I appreciate it all.
All right, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
Your phone is totally breaking up there, and now he's off the line. So, Nick, we'll play that for you coming up and for everybody coming up at the end of the show.
Thanks, Nick. It's too bad the phone went out on him right there. Yeah. I think he had some nice things to say about us.
Sean, I know I couldn't quite hear what he was saying, but I could tell that he was complimenting us in some way. I'm talking about myself and Paul. I'm not so sure about Andy. Sean's in New Hampshire. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Doing great, Sean. What's up?
Hey, call last week, just kind of same thing with preseason game. Wanted to get you guys' take. I know it's game 3. What do you guys are like looking to see from both sides of the ball tonight?
Jamie Collins is my first. The safety position next to Devin McCourty is my second. And the running back situation is my third. Does Ridley bounce back? Who gets carries if Bolden's not out there? Can any of these guys look like they're going to be early down ball carriers? So those are mine. Paul, what do you got?
Well, I like those. I'll add maybe some bottom of the depth chart type receivers. I want to see if LaFell and Tompkins can sort of I thought the touchdown pass to Tompkins last week I thought was impressive, the back shoulder fade.
Yeah.
Kind of play that we didn't see a lot last year. Didn't seem like the timing was right on those kinds of plays last year. That was encouraging. LaFell's sort of coming on the last 2 weeks or so of training camp. Want to see if he can build on that. But I agree with Andy. There's some individual things that, the offensive line, I guess, is another one we could throw in there, some pass protection stuff. But, you know, beyond the stuff that Andy talked about, I just want to see everybody get out healthy in a reasonable level of play. You know, last year was really sloppy in Detroit. Remember all the turnovers and the mistakes. I want to see a reasonably clean game, obviously with no injuries.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds great, guys. You
all right,
great
Sean.
Job.
Thanks for the call.
I'll pass it on. Yeah, go Pats.
All right, take
go
care.
Pats.
One thing that I'm curious to see in this game tonight is if on offense any of the guys who are long shots to make the team. And maybe that's not the right word. Guys that are down the depth chart is what I should say.
Boyce?
Boyce or Timms or anybody.
Finch.
Finch, throw any of those guys in there. Get any reps early in the game. If they get any snaps early in this game.
Well, Timms would be a phenomenal one.
And by
if
early,
I see Timms out there with Brady,
I mean
that's very interesting. That's very interesting.
If you're trying to make a decision on Timms, don't you have to put him in there with the real offense against real competition to see what it actually looks like?
You'd think, and you're certainly going to have an extended period. It's not like you're forcing him into one series or two series. If you go Brady into the third quarter, you're going to have, you know, five series of action to get him out there.
See, but I would do it earlier than that. I would do it earlier simply because of what he's going to be going against on the other side.
But what do you have? What's the upside? What do you have to gain with Timms?
See if he gets behind somebody. And okay, he can do it with real
okay,
people
but then,
on the field.
But then what does that translate to come week five? Who is he playing over in week five?
I don't know.
I think it's Paul.
I don't know what the situation is.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking
who's
about
who's hurt, who's healthy, who's been good, who's sucked.
I feel like you can go and get him if you have the disaster happen that you just described. Who's hurt, who's not healthy, and then you can go get him.
So you don't think he's one of your top five or six receivers on this team?
No.
If they're trying to make a decision between, let's say, Boyce and Timms down the road.
Maybe he's six.
And I know he has the suspension, which is going to keep him out and not count against the roster for 4 weeks. But if you are taking a look at the 2014 season, you're Bill Belichick, and you say, I'd like to keep either Timms or Boyce, doesn't he have an opportunity to try and help
what
he knows about
one of those guys
is
unseating the guy? I want to see Tompkins and LaFell with Brady. Because I think they need it.
I think they're going to be well ahead
of those two guys.
I think they're going to be out there for a good portion of this first half.
I guess I'm just not as sold on Kenbrell Tompkins as everybody is.
Really? I like Kenbrell Tompkins. Yeah,
see,
I know.
Andy and I actually agree on Tompkins.
I don't really see that big a difference.
He thinks more of Timms than I do.
But I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like I could see Timms being in the ballpark with Kenbrell Tompkins. And that's why I wouldn't mind seeing some of those reps with Brady.
I like Kenbrell Tompkins.
So you think Tompkins could get cut?
No, I don't think he's going to get cut. I'm just not all that high on him.
Okay. Then I'm not sure that I see the need to get Tim's time that I think if Tompkins is going to be here, he's going to need that time.
But what if Timms could be better?
Then you're going to cut Tompkins.
Right, but if I never give Timms time to work with Brady and to be with the first.
I like how he keeps getting that Timms time in there.
Well, Timms time.
It's a great cover of PFW. Then I would never know that.
Except we didn't use it.
Let's go inside the press box. Let's do that.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
It's boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
I think I've never really listened to that open before. It's kind of funny. For the latest from the field, we'll go to the press box. Wouldn't you want to go to the field for the latest? I feel like if you had an actual sideline reporter.
Let's go to the sideline. Check that. We're going to the press box.
For the latest from the press box, we'll go to the field.
High above the turf at Gillette Stadium, inside the press box, is Eric Scalavino joining us on the phone. Hello, Eric.
Might have been the best point Andy Hart has ever made.
For the latest from the field.
It's up there.
We'll go to the 300 level and talk to Eric.
Right.
But he can see what's going on the field.
Yes, I understand. And the first thing he's going to tell us is who are we going to see tonight for the first time or for the most significant time, Eric, that we haven't seen before? You know, there's already been talk of Jerod Mayo, Dante Hightower, who's out there, who isn't. Bring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hightower and Mayo are both out here dressed. Now, Mayo doing his very best to try to hide himself by tucking his jersey all the way up over the numbers so that we couldn't see them, but still said Big Mayo on the back.
That's a giveaway.
Visible. A big dead giveaway. Yeah.
It's a name.
Both of those guys are out here fully dressed, taking part in warm-ups right now. Jeremy Gallen, a guy who a lot of fans have been interested in since he was drafted, practiced for the first time this past week. He's fully suited up, took some punt and kick return reps just a few moments ago. Maybe later in the second half we'll get to see him. Who knows? Maybe sooner. Maybe he'll get some special teams activity. We won't see Aaron Dobson because he's not dressed, not playing tonight. We're not going to see Gronk. He's not dressed or playing tonight. We did see both of those guys very early on, though, in pregame warm-ups doing conditioning sprints, Gassert's doing across the field. So that's a little disappointing for if you're a big fan of Aaron Dobson, and we're hoping that he would get some game reps this week. He's not going to play.
How about Dominique Easley, the first-round pick?
That's a good question. I have not looked for him yet, but he has been practicing very recently, and I am trying to scan the field. They're in individual position groups right now, haven't broken into team yet. The linemen are all in a jumble right now as they're getting ready to face each other. So I'm looking quickly. I do see, however, Jarrell Worthy, the youngster they traded for with Green Bay recently, and still scanning the defensive line group here, and I have not yet seen a 74, Andy.
Okay, so I guess there are some reports on Twitter from EEI and other places that he will not play. That's, I think you termed Dobson disappointing. I think that's a little disappointing for Easley, even though he hasn't been out there that long. You know, I think people have hope of what he can bring to that defensive line and would like to see him. What are you seeing from the Panthers? You know, there was some talk that maybe they wouldn't treat this game quite as the norm third preseason game. Are you seeing anything that would indicate as such?
I don't know. I mean, they have been, there have been players out on the field, Panther players have been out on the field for quite a while. And even when the Patriots came out for a little bit and went back inside, Panthers stayed out on the field. I don't know, it doesn't seem like they're taking this game lightly at all. And I wonder if any of that has to do with, it's only a sixth round pick, but the whole, taking of, Tyler, or what was it, Gaffney, the running back, that the Patriots claimed, offered injury waivers from Carolina. I wonder if that is playing anything into that at all, with the head coach of, Carolina, Ron Rivera. But, no, I mean, I haven't seen anything, differently from Carolina than I would have expected to see.
All right. Finally, I saw maybe showers could be a possibility tonight. What do the skies look like up there?
Very gray and threatening. So, yeah, you heard right. It looks like in the distance there are some clouds coming over the hills that are a little darkening. So
could be a wet ball game.
Could be, but it's at the moment holding off, and it's dry right now.
Eric, how's the crowd look? I know it's early, but coming in here, it seemed like there was a much better showing of fans this week in the parking lots than last.
They're probably still in the parking lot, though, Mark. There are a lot of still blue and red seats right now, but there are fans trickling in. So, like last week, it eventually filled up. I think the same will be said for tonight, because this is obviously the most interesting of the four preseason games. And the fact that it's home, I think people are going to want to take advantage of that, get their money's worth, and see Tom Brady and most of the starters for a large part of the night.
No question. This is the jumbo shrimp of preseason games. I want you to boil that jumbo shrimp down just to one single topic. What do you want to see most tonight, Eric Scalavino, from your New England Patriots?
I want to see a good defensive performance, especially after last week. I mean, I kind of, you know, with no Gronk in the offense, I know that they're not going to be the same type of offense that they will be when he is back, so I'm not really putting high expectations up for them tonight. But I would like to see, if the starters on defense play significantly, I'd like to see them put up a good effort. I'd like to see if Revis is going to play, how that affects the dynamic of the defense. And, you know, because we've said it all offseason, with him on the field, they're going to be a much better defense. When he's not on the field, they're just going to be the same defense we've seen the last few years. So I'm hoping that I see something of significance in terms of improvement, aggressiveness, from the Patriots defense in this game.
Eric Scalavino high atop the field, giving us all of the inside info from the press box. Eric, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Eric Scalavino joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Football fans, get out to Gillette Stadium Saturday, August 30th at 3 p.m. to watch UMass battle Boston College in the battle for the Bay State. Come tailgate in the parking lots or eat in one of the Patriot Place restaurants before the game and then see college football in New England at its finest. Tickets start at just $25. Get yours today at the Gillette Stadium box office or by logging on to Ticketmaster.com. Going to be a good game coming up here, Andy. You should check that out.
Are you going?
I believe I will be there, yes. In fact, I am looking forward to it very much.
Got a couple extras?
I might know some people.
Need four. Got four. Need four.
Need four. Need four.
We can need four? You seriously doing that?
I would think about bringing my kids, my wife. I think that'd be a good take. Big Minuteman, Big Eagle.
There you go. Yeah. Who are you going to root for?
Oh, I'd root for UMass.
I'd probably root for UMass.
Okay, then maybe I'll consider getting you those tickets.
Okay. Can I paint my face?
I don't think there's a team I would root for BC over. I'm not sure there's a team in the country I could root for.
Yeah, I find them to be putrid. So
I would root for the. I would root for BC if they were playing Alabama or Ohio State.
That's good, Kevin Collins. Kevin, where did you go to school?
University of Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're a fraud.
Ooh, it was a little anger with that.
It bothers me. Kevin bothers me.
Yeah, and that really bothers me.
Some late updates off of Twitter.
Let's get them. PPGS.
George Devy apparently is working next to Ryan Wendell in what would appear to be the first offensive line tonight. So another incarnation of that group, Paul Perillo, with Dan Conley not out there. He's been out there with the centers. Devy's been out there, not out there. Who knows? What do you make of it?
I just think that they're still searching, and I don't think that that's a good thing at this point. I think the fact that the combinations continue to change is not a good thing.
Does it feel like they're getting any closer to having a group? You know, it doesn't feel to me like there's any real...
Yes, just because of the calendar.
No, see, no, I'm with Paul. It doesn't feel like they're any closer to really knowing. There's been no trend there. There's been nothing that you've seen that you say, I think it's probably going to end up like this. It just...
I think this is Devy's last chance. I don't think Devy's going to make the team. And I think this might be his last chance to prove what he can do against a legitimate defensive front, a physical, good defensive front. And can you hang? Can you not hang?
I agree.
What are you laughing at?
Differential front. That's what I'm laughing at.
Differential front.
Nitpicky.
Former English teacher.
You know, he's so perfect, he's never misspoken in his life.
And every time I do, you laugh just the way I just did.
Brandon Bolden out, according to Jeff Howe. Brandon Bolden.
We knew that.
We knew that.
Oh, we did?
Yes. Yeah. Where you been?
I missed that.
That actually probably broke so early in the show.
You might not have been here in your defense. You may not have been here.
Oh, sorry.
That happened in the first hour and 45 minutes
that's
of the
why
show.
I
might not have been here.
That's why I included my whole running back thing. You know, Ridley, who's next? Can Finch get carries? Is James White, Paul's guy, ready? You know, where are those carries coming from?
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I missed that part.
The Tasmanian Devlin.
Your guy. Your guy.
The offensive line is a mild concern for me. And the reason why it's more so because, and I know we talk a lot about the coaching, I just had the confidence that when things went wrong, if they went out there and had, like Cincinnati last year, Andy, early in the game, it was a train wreck. But but they settled it down. Remember, they got to the sideline and all of a sudden Brady wasn't under that constant pressure for the whole game that he was, you know, the first couple of series. I had confidence that Dante would do that. I don't have that confidence now until I see it with the new guy.
One final email before we go. Andrew writes in, hey, guys, most of the PFW elites love you guys, including me. We just don't like Eric.
Eric, that's a whole other story.
Apparently, we're all members of the PFW elite.
We'll get into that because Eric topped himself this week. He's now anti-ALS.
What?
He refused
the ALS.
Who does that?
Exactly.
Eric. Who the hell does that?
Quote, I don't believe in it.
Oh, I don't believe in Eric.
Unquote.
Let's go to the song to wrap things up here I haven't heard it. Have you listened to it?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Nick Baby Love sent this in. We'll be back here. Xbox One post-game show is coming your way right after this game tonight. We'll all be back here in studio on Patriots.com. I'll be on time. Join us then.
Original Mac Daddy, and Paul is a real Italian stallion, and Andy's got all the sports candy, and the ladies love it when they're on the .com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.